not want to use it. Yes, sir, and what is your name, sir?
How do you want it, sir?
What's that again? I just can't hear you.
L.D. Holman, sir?
L.D. Holman. L.D. Holman.
Do you hear that? Okay, well, the Honorable Ms. Rittenhouse will serve as a lead for your hearing, so just hold on, sir. She'll be right with you, sir.
Okay, thank you, sir.
Okay, Mr. Holman, could you please state your full name and your ADC number for the record?
Holman, LD, 20658.
Thank you. So you're appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency for a revocation hearing concerning the three allegations that are on your warrant. You were notified about this hearing. It looks like you signed a paper on June 10th. Do you remember that?
June 10th.
Yeah, it was the paper that told you that the hearing would be today.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, and the reason
it
was... It wasn't the 10th?
No. No.
I think I have a copy of it here. Oh, the 19th. It maybe was the 19th. It's kind of not written here very carefully, so... Does the 19th sound better?
Yeah, it sounds more accurate.
Okay, all right, good. On that paper, though, is a list of your hearing rights, and one of your rights is you can hire an attorney at your expense. Did you hire an attorney today, or will you just represent yourself in this hearing, sir?
Represent myself, ma'am.
Okay, that's fine. The attorney is optional, but it is your right. Okay, I'd like to introduce you to the board members who are conducting this hearing today. If you look on the video screen there, if you look all the way to your right, my left, at the far end of the bench, down there, is the Honorable Louis Quinones. Next to him, the Honorable David Neal. Right next to me here in the center is the Honorable Dr. C.T. Wright. He's our board chairman. On my other side over here is the Honorable Michael Johnson. And my name is Gail Rittenhouse. I'll conduct your hearing today. Also with us in the room, we have the Honorable Mr. Grady, who you can see now. He is a community corrections officer with the Department of Corrections. So he'll represent the department and your parole officer in this hearing today. So before we start, I need to swear to both of you in. So Mr. Holman and Mr. Grady, do you solemnly swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help you God, and do you so affirm? Mr. Holman?
Yes, Lord, I do.
Okay, and Mr. Grady. Thank you. Mr. Holman, your hearing will be conducted in two phases, with phase one to determine if you violated the terms and conditions of your supervision, and then in phase two, we determine if your supervision should be reinstated or revoked. So, for your first phase of your hearing, sir, I'm going to read each of these allegations to you, and I need you to tell me whether they're true or false, sir. So we'll start phase one. And the first allegation is that you're in violation of condition number 7, as demonstrated by providing urine specimen that was adulterated by dilution and unsuitable for testing on or about December 8, 2016, per the task lab report dated December 9, 2016. Mr. Holman, is that true or false?
Sure.
That's true? Okay. Allegation number 2 is that you were in violation of condition number 7, as demonstrated by providing urine specimen that was adulterated by dilution and unsuitable for testing on or about December 9, 2016, per the task lab report dated December 10, 2016. Mr. Holman, is that true or false?
True.
That's true. Okay. And then the final allegation, number 3, is that you were in violation of condition number 3, as demonstrated by your act of changing your place of residence at 2218 East Polk Street in Phoenix on or about December 12, 2016, without the prior approval of your assigned parole officer. Your whereabouts were unknown, thus you were an absconder from supervision. Mr. Holman, is this true or false?
True, ma'am.
That's true? Okay, thank you, sir. Based on Mr. Holman's admission, I move to find him delinquent, as he violated the terms and conditions of the supervision and may have lapsed or have lapsed into criminal ways or company.
Second.
I'm asking a couple of ways to come get on my job, I was gainfully employed.
That's okay. Hold on just a second, sir. Motion by myself, seconded by Mr. Neal, agreed by Dr. Wright, Mr. Johnson, Mr. Quinones. Okay, Mr. Holman, that's just a vote to pass from phase one to phase two. Phase two of your hearing is when we determine if your supervision should be revoked or reinstated. So we will have lots of time for you to explain and talk. In fact, we want to hear from you. Right after, I know from Mr. Gray, he's going to give us a little summary of your case, and we'll be right back with you. So hold on the line, and we'll be right back. Mr. Grady.
Mr. Holman was released from DOC on August 8th of 2016. He was arrested on January 17th of 2018 by Arizona DPS. He has no new charges. He was returned back to DOC on January 18th of 2018. He has a CSED of August 13th of 2018 that reflects 401 of con days. Current conviction. 2012, burglary, first degree, 5 years. He has no prior convictions. One term with DOC, his CEIR scores are 3.3, mental health scores are 1, substance abuse scores are 2. He has no gang affiliation, no prior term of supervision. Disciplinary violations are moderate with drugs noted. Other arrests, 2009, criminal damage, Arizona juvenile probation. 2010, aggravated assault on a peace officer. Arizona juvenile detention, 2010, criminal damage, Arizona juvenile detention, is a community risk score of G1B2.
Thank you, Mr. Grady. Okay, now back to you, Mr. Holman. We have a little summary of your supervision. It looks like right after intake, that would have been in August of 2016, right after you were released, you were assigned to live at TLC. But about a month later, it looks like you were discharged for non-compliant behavior. What was that about? Do you remember?
I was working two jobs, and I had already talked to Ms. Garcia, my probation officer and my parole officer at the time, that I was going to start saving money to try and get into a different halfway house.
Okay.
She said she was fine with that. And the reason why I was discharged is because my manager at TLC, he didn't want me to cash my check and pay him. He wanted my check and to keep it. So he told me I could either give him all the money that I had, which I had already paid 2 weeks in advance at that point in time, and I still had like $300 left for the new halfway house, so I could give him the money or I could leave. And that's why I was discharged.
So you didn't owe him the money, is your contention? You had already paid. Okay. All right. And then it looks like you were approved to go to MRC. That would have been about, and you went to an intake there, but you left. What was the legend there?
Well, because I had already had talked to Ms. Garcia, but she wasn't in, unfortunately, when everything had transpired between me and the manager at TLC. The following day, I went to the parole office to turn myself in, and,
okay.
So the parole officer had said, you know what, I'm an NCUA that's on this, you're going to go to MRC.
Got it.
I was trying to protest to that fact and tell him that, you know, me and my parole officer had already had something said, right. I need to go to Phoenix Oasis.
Okay, so that's the next thing.
Right,
understood. That was only a couple of days, and it's easy to see you probably just were only there for a couple of days. But then, on the 19th, you went to Phoenix Oasis, which is where you wanted to be, right? That's what you were saving to go. But then it looks like you left there about 3 months later, on December 12th, you left there. Well, why'd you leave?
Well, because the last time I had an issue with my parole officer, I think it was a delivery delay or something, and she told me if I had dropped one more that they were going to arrest me. And it coming up to Christmas, and me not being around my family for so many years, she called me and contacted me and told me that I needed to come in the next day, and I asked her if I come in, are you guys going to arrest me, or what's going to go on? She's like, I can't tell you that. And I was like, well, I made a decision at that point to found, and after New Year's I was going to turn myself in, but I got a good job making $500 after taxes, 10% commission, doing irrigation, and it just ended up being a whole year where I just was working and supporting my family. And eventually, I was going to turn myself in, but it's like one thing after another happened where my best friend passed away in April, and then my grandmother got sick, so I'm there for her, and then she passes away, my aunt passes away, and after that, I was going to turn myself in. That's why I was coming back from California, because I had taken my other aunt back out to California after she came out for the whole little ceremony and everything, and on my way back, that's when I got pulled over and everything.
So when the DPS pulled you over, what was the reason for them pulling you over?
They said I had a busted, not tell my license plate, like.
Okay. And where was that they pulled you over?
Lake Havasu, I believe.
Okay. So you were just on your way back from California then?
Yeah, I was coming back from Bakersfield.
Okay. All right, and it looks like you were working, you said you were working, was it two jobs? Where were you working?
When I was in the halfway house, I was working two jobs. I was working on Arizona Moving and Storage,
uh-huh.
And then I was working for Desert Classics. And
what's that? What's Desert Classics?
It's a landscaping business.
Oh, okay.
Once I left that, that's off of Van Buren and 21st, I believe.
Yeah.
Once everything that happened where I absconded, I got a job with Williams Sprinkler Irrigation, which once I get out, I'm still employed. I have a job and everything right there. I have my boss's number if you guys want to contact him. But I worked there the whole time that I absconded. And I eventually told him, you know, this is my case, this is the scenario, and he's like, encouraged me to turn myself in and get it all dealt with.
You say your boss did at the sprinkler place?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So it looks like I'm looking at your history at TASC, and it looks like you've got 6 specimens that were negative, but they were diluted. So what was going on with that? Why were there so many diluted specimens?
It wasn't intentional. I was just working like outside and doing moving and everything like that, and I was drinking a lot of water.
Okay.
And I would have to go to work first before I could even get on the bus to go to drop.
Right. Okay.
So I'd get off of work and catch the bus and go drop, and that's how that played out.
Okay. But I also see in November of 2016, there's one that's positive for cocaine. What was going on there?
I relapsed and did some cocaine now.
Okay. Is cocaine your drug of choice?
No, not necessarily. I really don't even do drugs like that. I'm more of like a drinker, a couple beers after work.
Okay. So alcohol, but have you tried other drugs?
No, no.
Not really. Okay. Alcohol and cocaine. All right, so I'm going to see if my fellow board members have any questions. Anyone have a question? Okay. Mr. Holman, we're coming toward the end of your hearing, but I want to give you the opportunity to make a final statement. Sometimes as you talk, you say, oh, I wish I had said this. Is there anything else that you can think of that we should know?
Ma'am, do you have any faxes or statements on behalf of anybody?
Yeah, let me look.
Or any witnesses?
Let me look.
All my family and everything's working, and also my boss said he was going to try and send me a statement.
I do not think we do. No. I do not see any, sir.
Do you want my boss's number to verify that I was working?
Oh, no, I believe you're working. We have indication here that you were working. So that's fine.
No, but I'm talking about the whole time I was actually absconding.
No, we believe you. I believe that you were working, sir. Anything else, sir?
This environment down in right now currently is negative. It's still negativity. Whether it's narcotics, alcohol, gang violence, it's not beneficial. I would like to be released to the halfway house in TLC in Mesa, so that way I can get back to work and be a productive member of the community, but really that's up to you guys and my actions as a man. You know, they pretty much speak for themselves on paper. That's not who I am, though. That's not what I'm trying to be. You guys have a blessed day.
Mr. Holman, you're 25. Is that how old your age right now? 24?
I'm 24.
Okay. All right, so the board is going to go into discussion, and all we ask is you just remain on the phone and remain silent, and then we'll be right back with a response and answer for you. Okay, sir?
Yes, ma'am.
All right. The board is now in discussion. Mr. Holman was doing pretty well. I mean, he had a few little bumps with his, about his residence, but in general, he was doing pretty well until November of 2016. That would have been from August to November, and had a relapse using cocaine. And we don't know, since he chose to abscond, that he was honest enough to tell us that he made a decision to abscond. So we don't know whether he was using any drugs. He says he wasn't, but we don't know because he chose to abscond. He's got a release date right now of August 13th of 2018. So I'm thinking the best thing for Mr. Holman is for him to just stay right where he is and kill his number, and that way as of August of 18, he doesn't have any, he won't have any post-supervision. To worry about, but I would certainly listen to any input from fellow board members. Okay. Based on information in warrant 2016W4186, our conversation with Mr. Holman, it looks like Mr. Holman is choosing to leave the hearing at this point. So based on information in the warrant, I move to revoke community supervision as Mr. Holman was delinquent, violated the terms and conditions of supervision, and had lapsed and was about to lapse into criminal ways or company by absconding from supervision.
You ready for the last one?
Yes, sir.
Okay, motion by myself, seconded by... Who seconded, I'm sorry?
Mr. Neal.
Mr. Neal, okay, I didn't hear that. And agreed by...
Me. I'm sorry.
All right, Mr. Johnson.
Me.
Thank you.
Yeah, me.
That's what we knew about the language.
I've been sitting in all over that sheet. Good language.
All right, this concludes Mr. Holman's hearing.